Stellt euch vor, ihr könntet ein Spiel machen. Wirklich egal was, First-Person-Shooter, Adventure, oder ihr könntet ein Spiel machen, wo ihr einfach ein Typ seid, der die ganze Zeit gegen eine Hacke läuft. Immer und immer und immer wieder, egal was. Stell dich vor, ihr hättet all die Werkzeuge und Materialien zur Verfügung, wie damals bei so einem Webseiten-Kit, wo jeder auf einmal sich irgendwie den Traum erfüllen konnte und sich eine ganz eigene Website bauen konnte, ohne tatsächlich programmieren zu können. Und genau diesen Traum des Videospiels, das man sich selber baut, ohne es tatsächlich zu können, genau diesen Traum, dass ihr euch einfach selber ein Spiel bauen könnt, den möchte Dreams euch jetzt erfüllen. Denn Dreams ist genau das. Ein Baukasten für eure ganz eigenen Spiele. Ganz prinzipiell unterteilt sich das Spiel dabei aber in zwei große Rubriken. Den Part, in dem ihr Kreationen anderer einfach probieren, betrachten oder spielen könnt, und in den Part, in dem ihr selber Hand anlegt. Für eure eigenen Kreationen stehen euch dabei vorgefertigte Assets zur Verfügung, die ihr nach Lust und Laune verändern und auch individualisieren könnt. Und wenn ich sage, dass ihr euer ganz eigenes Spiel entwerfen könnt, dann meine ich das tatsächlich auch so, denn in Dreams habt ihr die Möglichkeit, eigene Level zu erstellen. Wie Mario Maker, nur in 100.000 Mal ausführlicher. Hier gestaltet ihr nämlich nicht bloß, sondern könnt sagen, was an welcher Stelle, wo, wie passieren soll, zu sehen oder hören sein soll. Was sich jetzt so anhört, als sei recht schnell irgendwie der Spaß vorbei oder die Möglichkeiten seien vielleicht begrenzt, dem sei an der Stelle vielleicht das Beispiel ans Herz gelegt, das auch uns in der rund 40-minütigen Präsentation gezeigt wurde. Die Musik. In Dreams habt ihr nicht bloß die Möglichkeit, einzelne vorgefertigte Tracks für euer Spiel zu nehmen, sondern es gibt eben auch so eine Art Software im Spiel. Und die geht unfassbar tief. Die es euch mit vorhandenen Instrumenten erlaubt, ganz eigene Tracks zum Beispiel zu bauen. Wer sich so ein bisschen mit Audio Editing auskennt, wird recht schnell merken, wie divers diese Möglichkeiten sind. Alles lässt sich anpassen, Tonhöhe, Frequenz und. Und wem das dann immer noch nicht genug ist, der kann auch einfach die PlayStation-Kamera nutzen, also genauer gesagt das Mikrofon, und seine eigene Stimme zum Instrument machen, indem man sie dann so verändert und in den Beat einbaut, dass sie Teil der Musik wird. Und wo wir gerade bei der Stimme sind, natürlich könnt ihr dann das Kamera-Feature, also die Mikrofonfunktion, für Voicelines benutzen und eure Stimme aufnehmen und so euer Spiel komplett mit eurer eigenen Stimme oder der von Freunden, Verwandten, whatever, vertonen. Die Grenzen in Dreams scheinen, zumindest nach dieser Präsentation, für mich erstmal unendlich. Genauso unendlich wie die Kreativität der Nutzer, die aktuell die Beta spielen. Wir haben schon einige Beispiele in der Präsentation gezeigt bekommen, einige waren aber auch einfach super präsent in der Presse. Final Fantasy 7, sorry, der Final Fantasy 7 Husten. Und eben weil das alles so spannend und so aufregend für mich war und obwohl ich Dreams kannte und immer als ein, ja, das ist halt nichts für mich, weil ich dieses Bauen nicht mag, abgestempelt habe, war ich wirklich fasziniert von dem Titel. Das hatte wirklich, ich weiß nicht, irgendwas in mir ausgelöst, von dem ich nicht wusste, dass es da war. Dreams ist, glaube ich, mein AAA-Publisher-Highlight der Gamescom, weil es von Sony stammt. Weil es ähnlich wie viele andere Spiele aus diesem Podcast nur so vor Kreativität und Leidenschaft der Entwickler trotzt. Und eben weil alles so leidenschaftlich war, habe ich die Chance ergriffen und ein sehr kurzes sowie spontanes Interview mit einem der Entwickler von Media Molecule geführt. Und wenn ich spontan sage, dann meine ich halt wirklich spontan. Ich hatte nichts vorbereitet, keine Fragen. Es war so, ja, hier, willst du ihn eigentlich jetzt noch interviewen? Und ich war so, fuck, das, was ich gerade gesehen habe, ja, ich möchte das. Nur eins vorweg, bevor wir zum Interview springen, in dem Raum, in dem wir saßen, ging ziemlich doll die Klimaanlage. Ich habe eigentlich gedacht, dass sie nicht so doll zu hören ist, aber das Mikro hat es anscheinend doch sehr präsent aufgenommen. Dementsprechend hört man das in der Aufnahme dann recht stark raus. Trotzdem, bitte genießt das Interview, habt ganz viel Spaß dabei, weil nicht nur dieser Mensch sehr sympathisch ist, sondern auch das Spiel einfach mehr mich begeistert hat und ich hoffe, das Interview gibt euch was. Viel Spaß!
So my name is Mark Healy. I'm the creative director at Media Molecule.
So we just had the presentation of Dreams, and I'm honestly amazed. I mean, I heard about it, but I didn't know it was so deep. Like, there are so many features, and there's so much detail. Like, when did you start that? I mean, it feels like a child dream when you have these this RPG Maker, which was famous back then, and this just feels like a modern version. But it's not just about RPGs; it's about everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned something like RPG creator. I didn't actually know that one, but I mean, I'm quite an old man myself now. And when I started in the games industry, it was 8-bit computers like Commodore 64, and I think that's quite big in Germany, the Commodore 64. And there was a thing on that called the shoot 'em up construction kit, for example, that let you make simple shooters and things. And I loved that because when I got my first computer, I wanted to make stuff, and you had to learn to program essentially. And I was too lazy to do that, so I wanted to find things that would make it easy for me. And I played around with them, and eventually I just did learn to program, and it was fine. But a lot of those early things were big inspirations for Little Big Planet, actually. So our first game was called Little Big Planet. And it's a similar area to this. It's like you can make stuff and share it with people, but we've just... So really, this is like a spiritual successor to Little Big Planet. We're just kind of running with that idea and just expanding it. And like, let's go the whole hog. Let's do a full-on, proper game dev suite set of tools but that people can use on a console. You can do it on your sofa, you know?
What did you decide not to make it under the Little Big Planet franchise?
So we did Little Big Planet 1, then Little Big Planet 2, and then we were like, okay, we could do Little Big Planet 3, but actually we'd quite like to do something new. It was a big decision, because obviously Little Big Planet 2 was very successful, and people love Sackboy and stuff, but Sony were like, well, we can get another team to do Little Big Planet 3, and we were like, ooh, but yeah, okay, because we want to do new stuff. Yeah. And there's a lot of concepts in here that are very similar to Little Big Planet, but crucially, it was an opportunity to sort of continue that but lose any of the baggage that we had, so we can make a fresh start, so we can use some of the best ideas but also do things a bit differently. So yeah, it was very much it was that. In some ways you could argue it's Little Big Planet 4, I suppose, but it's obviously not.
Was the idea always to make it this in depth? Like,
it was. You know, we had the idea for what we wanted to do, but I don't think we even knew what we were saying to ourselves, because that was like 7 years ago we said that. And I mean, that was just a really small group of people initially. That was like myself and about 3 or 4 people. We started with a bit of R&D, like the sculpture technology, and then it's gradually grown. And the rest of the team were making a different game. They made a game called Tearaway, but me and a few people were on this. And then when they finished Tearaway, the team came on and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, we were like, my God, we've really set ourselves a big ambition here. But you know, it's quite scary, but luckily Sony have been really good to us. They've given us a lot of rope, I guess, because Little Big Planet was successful as well. They trusted us. So yes, we only really started to truly appreciate the ambition though once we were about 4 years into it, and we were like, oh my God, what have we let ourselves in for here? But we've stuck at it, and we've really got it to a good place now, I think. So yeah, very happy with that. But it, definitely an ambitious thing to do.
How do I have to imagine the development? Like, we have seen the music part normally in development. There's someone who's especially good in music. Is it like the music guy is now saying how it has to look and how the features have to be?
Yeah, so I mean, the way we work at Media Molecule is, you know, I'm the creative director. I suppose technically I'm the lead design, but that doesn't mean I design everything at all. Yeah. Everyone at Media Molecule is a designer, really. But specifically with the sound, the main guy that programmed, well, there's two main people that programmed that. Yeah. One of them was Alex, who's our technical director. Yeah. He did the sort of low-level sort of synth stuff, and that's amazing. He's a real geek with sound, so he's really gone to town on that. But the actual main interface and all the stuff that I was showing you is a guy called Bogdan, and we hired him because he'd made all these... He was making weird electronic musical devices that he would do these performances with. So he was clearly very technical and cool at making weird things, but also he's a musician. So it was made by a musician essentially, but someone who's got, you know, is very brainy. And he designed a lot of it, really. I mean, I gave him an initial idea. I did a little prototype in Unity, which was just an imp moving around, making some sounds. And he sort of was inspired by that. But what it's ended up as is a gazillion times better and it's not recognisable at all. And the way it works is he would just do things and I would sit down with him every week and see what he's done and say, yeah, that's cool, I don't like this, maybe try this, blah, blah, blah. And it slowly happens. There's a lot of disagreements, obviously. You know, I mean, there's always, within the office, there's always at least two people that want to kill each other for whatever. But it's, you know, it'll be just like creative disagreements about stuff, not really important stuff, but people get very passionate about it. But I think it is great that everyone does get involved at Media Molecule. They're not just, it's not like, right, your job is to make trees, you go and sit in the corner. We encourage everyone to get involved in the whole thing as much as possible, because people are going to care about it more than I think, and you end up with a better product, you know. I haven't got all the ideas in the world at all. My job is more about collating people's ideas, really, to be honest with you. Yeah, and sort of trying to make sure that it all still makes sense and works together. So, yeah. I can't remember what your original question was now, actually.
But I don't know, but I'm fascinated hearing you talking. I've got a question about the creations themselves. Like, we've seen Pokemon, for example. There was a swimming Pokemon before. We've seen Final Fantasy VII, which was very prominent. I've seen Hogwarts, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of... I know what you're getting at. There's like IP infringement, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, isn't there a problem having those licenses in your game?
Well, so we follow the same model as something like YouTube.
Yeah.
If you put something up and it's an IP infringement, it's up to the person that owns that IP to complain about it, and then it gets taken down. So it's just as simple as that.
Okay.
And it's quite a grey area, because you've got like the concept of like people make fan art. So someone makes a painting of one of their favourite characters. That can be a good thing for the IP holder. That's advertising for them, really. So yeah, it's just that. And so far we've not actually had anyone say anything, but maybe when it becomes more popular there will be, I don't know. But I actually think that's a really good way to learn. I mean, it's like if you play guitar, for example, you start by learning cover versions and other songs that people have made. It's a really nice way to learn. So I personally think that's a really good thing to do, but obviously it could become a tricky area.
Yeah.
But at the moment, the way the law is they can just say, we don't like that, and we just take it down. And that's end of story, basically.
Okay.
And then with regards to people making like offensive things, for example, you know, I mean, if I give that to the average teenager, they're going to draw a dick, you know, it's obvious. Hopefully they don't publish it, but if they do, we've got a big moderation team. Well, Sony have got a moderation team that you can complain about something, it gets taken down pretty quickly, and so far the community are pretty well behaved, to be honest with you. So, but that's an ongoing thing, but yeah, so far so good.
I know we don't have much time left. That's why one last question. The game isn't released yet, so you're doing a lot of updates. There is coming a lot of new stuff. Do you plan to do this in the future too? Like, is there a time plan, like you think of doing this 1 or 2 years? Or
I mean, we'll do it for as long as we can, really. So long as there's people that like it. And
is it for free?
No. Oh, the updates.
Yeah,
the updates are free.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And currently, you can get the early access version.
Yeah.
It's like €30, I think, on the PSN store.
Okay.
But if you get that now, then you've got the game for life.
Okay, cool.
The full version will just update for free. But yeah, absolutely, we plan to keep adding to it. Like, one of the first big updates we'll do after the initial release is VR support, so you can make VR experiences.
Cool.
That already does work, actually, but we've just got a bit of UI stuff to do. But I've been playing community stuff in VR, and it's mental. Especially as it wasn't made for VR. So for example, I went and played a first person shooter that someone had made, and the scale of it was mad. So I'm in there and I've got this hand that's the size of an elephant, and I'm walking around, it's hilarious. And then after that we'll do multiplayer online, so that people can make multiplayer online games. After that, whatever there's a hunger for, really. I mean, we're led by the community a lot, as well as us coming up with ideas. So absolutely, we very much see it as a platform or a service. It's not a traditional game we're going to release and that's job done. We want it to have a life. And so far, what the creators have been doing with it is amazing. So they're obviously the lifeblood of this. So we have to keep them happy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Last point, I say, I think it's really important is you don't have to be a creator to come and enjoy Dreams.
Yeah.
Same with YouTube. You don't need to be a YouTuber to enjoy YouTube. You just go and consume. So I think when we do the big release, the majority of people will just go and play things, I think. And there's a lot of wacky stuff out there. But obviously, we try and entice people to get into the creative. Yeah. So, there you go.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.